Praise the Lord. Appreciate the Lord tonight, don't you? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 is where we'll be reading. Thankful for this opportunity. Want to try to just get out of the way and have a time of prayer before the evening service. I appreciate you young people, how you've been responding to the Holy Ghost as He moves. And if you'll just continue to do that, I believe that the Lord will help you if you'll just respond to Him. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I'm going to read the first four verses. Praise the Lord. How about this? Why don't we just all stand? People are still coming in. It's kind of distracting. So let's just all stand and read these verses. 2 Chronicles 34 says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. And he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them. And he cut down and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them, strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Praise the Lord. If the Lord will help me, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes on a Josiah generation. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Thank you for how it can speak to us. I pray that you'd open up our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, speak somehow to these young people, encourage them, Lord, challenge their lives. Well, thank you. We praise you for a move in the remainder of these services tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, Josiah, first thing you notice about this story is he was a young man, and he really, when you look at it, if you read the stories before this text, is he really was a young man that he really didn't have a lot of hope at being a godly leader in Israel. He had, his ancestors had been wicked and served idols and things, and when you look at it, he didn't have much hope. But when you look at it, you know, I don't believe any one of us is born by accident. God has a specific plan and a specific purpose for us. Josiah, he was born into that generation for a reason, and he decided no matter what, even if his grandfather wasn't going to stand for God, even if his father Ammon wasn't going to stand for God, he was going to stand up and make a difference in the world that he was born into. And you as young people, you are born into this generation that you live in for a purpose. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God had you born in this generation for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. And it's not by accident that you are born into the world that we live in today. And I believe it. My desire for each and every one of us is that we would be like Josiah and have a desire to live like him and to make a difference in the world that we are in. Praise the Lord. You know, our world is full of wicked leaders and wicked people who follow. These people don't care about serving God. And they live the life they want to live. And we really find 4 different generations in Proverbs that I think are still found in our world today. I want to mention these very briefly. It says, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. This is the rebellious generation, but I still believe the Bible says honor your father and your mother. That's not out there too much today. Anywhere you go, young people are rebellious. And that's how the generation that we are born into. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. This is a blinded generation. The devil is doing all he can to blind young people to their sins. And they feel like they're all right. They feel like they're pure in their own eyes, yet they are still not washed from their sin. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. This is the prideful generation. But we know that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is the generation that we live in today out in the world, that we live in a world that is full of pride. And then that last verse there says it's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This is the uncaring and the selfish generation. That's the generation that we face every day when we go out in the world, a generation that says, I am number one. I'm going to take care of only myself. That's the generation that we live in. But yeah, when we read this story, we read of generation after generation that put up idols in the temple of God. They worshiped false gods. But yet when Josiah comes along at 8 years old, he stands up and says, I'm not going to be like everyone else. I'm not going to serve idols like the rest of the world. But as a young person, my desire is that I'm going to serve God and I'm going to make a difference in my life. Praise the Lord. I want you to notice some things that out of Josiah's life that I believe we need to apply to us if we want to be part of a Josiah generation. First of all, Josiah followed a godly example. It says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. You know, when you think about that, Josiah was a young man. He could have followed in the ways of Manasseh, his grandfather, or Ammon, his father, yet he chose to follow a godly example. And you know, who are you following? That's a good question to ask. Who is your example you're following? But David, he was a good example to follow. I love reading stories of David. He was a fighter. He was a man that wasn't afraid to stand up for what was right and face the enemy flat-footed. And he faced Goliath. He defeated the lion and the bear and then the Goliath. And he goes on and he slew the Philistines and different stories you can read on because David was a mighty man of valor. And then I not only like that about David, but I also like that David, he admitted to failure when he was caught in sin. And Nathan came and said, thou art the man. And David didn't go try to hide in the corner and try to cover up his sin, but he said, I have failed. And he said, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. David was a man that was a fighter, but yet he admitted to failure. But not only that, I like this about David is that he was faithful. He was, as a young man, he would tend his father's sheep. He would be out in the field. But then all the way through his life, as you watch him, he was a faithful king of Israel. And at the end, he's given his instructions to Solomon, and he still has a desire to serve the Lord. If you'll read it there in the beginning of 1 Kings, I believe it is. He's telling Solomon, he says, you be a mighty man. He says, you follow God's word. I appreciate a man like David that we can look to, a man that was a fighter, a man that was faithful. Praise the Lord. He was faithful. And you know, there's a lot of bad examples out there. And you know, as young people, it's sad to me when I see young people running around and they're naming their favorite, you know, sports star, their favorite singer. You know, that's not, you know, it just bothers me when you have these great men and women of God that you can look to and you're looking to the world for your examples. But let me challenge you need to look to a godly example to follow. That's something that Josiah did, and I believe that's something that we need to do. Praise the Lord. Second of all, Josiah sought after God when he was young. It says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he would have been 16 years old, and Josiah began to seek after God when he was still young. Praise the Lord. You're not ever too young to start seeking after the Lord, young people. Praise the Lord. It don't matter if there's a 3-year-old here or if you're 16 or whatever age you are, you're never too young to serve the Lord. Don't think that you have to wait. Praise the Lord. I love reading stories in the Bible of young people who decided to follow God when they were young. I love the story of Samuel. As he was there, his mother had given him back to the Lord, a promised child in the temple. He was taking care and helping Eli in the temple. He was tending the things of the temple as a young man, and God spoke to him. And he had never heard the voice of the Lord, but that fourth time, Eli told him, you go and lay down again, and when you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel was a young man who decided to serve the Lord when he was young. He was a young man that heard God's voice. I love reading the story of Joseph and how he had a dream when he was only a young man, but yet he followed the Lord faithfully. He worked. He got through the hard times of his life, through the pit and through the prison, and he made it all the way to the palace. And it says there, as his brothers came before him, it says he remembered the dream. I'm telling you what, Joseph was a young man who wasn't going to let bad circumstances and things hinder him, but he realized when his brothers stood before him, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And God and Joseph, God was able to use Joseph to keep his family alive. And so as Joseph might not understood what he was going through, he never gave up, and he kept
being faithful to God, and God used him to preserve his family. And you as young people, if God's given you a vision, you need to stick by it. You need to believe God is going to fulfill that vision in your life. Not only that, but Daniel, he was a man that held on to his virtue. There in Daniel, it says that the king was going to offer him all this stuff, but he said, I will not defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. How about you? Do you want to be like Samuel and hear God's voice? Do you want to be like Joseph and hold on to a vision? Do you want to be like Daniel and hold on to your virtue? These were all young men, but they all decided at a young age that I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what anybody else does, no matter what anybody else is doing around me. I may be young, I may feel insignificant, but I'm going to serve the Lord no matter how hard it is. Praise the Lord. Josiah purged Jerusalem. That's point number three. It says, it says in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. When you read through the history of Israel, their biggest downfall was serving idols. The difference between Manasseh and Josiah was the fact that Manasseh, he removed the idols from the temple after he was taken into captivity, and he repented and he removed the idols, but yet he just removed them out of the temple and he didn't destroy them. And because of that, Ammon fell back into idolatry and recovered the idols. But something about Josiah was that he utterly destroyed them. He made dust out of the idols. Praise the Lord. If you're ever going to remove the idols, you're going to have to destroy them, or you might risk allowing someone behind you to fall back into those same things. But can I ask you a question? Is what you're worshiping really going to matter when you die? You know, those people, it says they scattered the dust upon their graves. You know, when they were worshiping those idols, do you really believe that they thought those idols were going to be scattered up on top of them one day? You know, is what important to you? Is it really that important? What you're worshiping, is it really going to matter when you die? I say, no, it's not. I say, what's going to really matter is if you have God first place in your life, and if you sanctify yourself and you get rid of the idols in your life. 2 Timothy says, but in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want you to notice that verse there. It says, of a man therefore purge himself. You know, a lot of times we come around these altars and we're praying and say, God, sanctify me, sanctify me. And, what we don't realize a lot of time is there is some sanctification that we have to do ourselves. There's some action that we may have to take to get rid of some idols and some hindrances out of our lives. Young men, if you're struggling with things like lust and things that the devil's trying to trap you in, you might have to lay aside your cell phone. You might have to lay aside those things that are trapping you. There's some action that you're going to have to take. You can't, if you never do your part, you can't expect God to do his. As a young person, young ladies, if you're struggling with gossiping, you're going to have to take an action and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose to do what's right. And whatever you may struggle with, there's some action that you got to take. It says, if a man therefore purge himself, you know, God, he wants to sanctify, he wants to help you, but you're going to have to take that step of faith. You're going to have to come around these altars and have God touch your life and say, I'm going to take some action myself, and I'm going to get rid of these things. That's what Josiah did. He decided, I'm not going to allow more people to fall into idolatry. I'm going to remove the idols out of my life. There's an action you must take. And last of all, this is really more what I want to focus on. Josiah, he made a covenant to follow God's word. And when you read this story in 2 Chronicles, the law of God had been lost in this whole nation. They were an idolatrous nation at this time. And it was because God's law had been lost in the very house of God. Jerusalem, they were steeped in idolatry because the reading of the law had come to an end. It was found by a man named Hilkiah. Hilkiah got it into the hands of the king, and when he read it, he rent his clothes because he realized his fathers had sinned against God. And I believe that today the reason The reason our nation is in the shape it is in because we have lost the law. We have lost the love and the importance of God's word in the house of God. We've replaced it with new perversions of the Bible. We've replaced it with entertainment and louder music. The reason our nation is falling apart, I believe, because the church is falling apart. And the reason the church is falling apart is because our families are falling apart. And I don't want you to get upset with me. I'm not down on the church. I'm for the church. But as the church as a whole, the modern church more type, the church is losing its effectiveness. It's allowing things to come in. And then we turn around and we wonder why our nation is in the shape of it as it is in. It's because our families are falling apart. Our families are allowing idols to come into their life. And the love for God's word is no longer as important as it used to be. And I'm telling you what, any nation that ever gets away from God's word is a nation that won't last very long. And I'm telling you, young people, if you want to make it in this world, you're going to have to find God's word again in your life. And you're going to have to hold it dear to you. Praise the Lord. What I don't like is people complaining about the lack of God's word in the White House when they're not dedicated enough to read God's word in their own house. We make a big fuss when prayer is taken out of public schools, yet we make no altar in our home. We wonder why our nation is steeped in homosexuality. It's because we have strayed from God's word. How in the world could you go that far? You know, in the Bible it teaches marriage is between one man and one woman for life. And that's how it's always been. And our nation is steeped in homosexuality because it's lost God's word. It no longer follows God's word. Not only that, but abortion is at its highest rates. How could you say that abortion is not murder? It's because they've gotten away from God's word. They've failed to read God's word and hide it in their hearts. And any nation that does that, it's not going to last very long. And young people, your life isn't going to last very long if you don't find God's word again and make a covenant to follow it. These are things that happen when we stray away from God's word. But I want you to read, I'm about to close these last verses. I want you to notice what Josiah did. It says, the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. He read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. It says, the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Praise the Lord. What a man Josiah was. He was willing when he found the law of God and he realized what it said. He was willing to stand up and say, this is how we need to live. This is how we need to live as a country, and this is how we need to live as an individual. And if you'll never notice, the most important thing is that revival happened when they got back to reading God's word, when they got back to following God's word. And I'm hungry for revival in America. I'm hungry for revival in our churches, and I'm hungry for revival in my heart. And if we're going to get back to having revival, we're going to have to get back to following God's word. Praise the Lord. Young people, you might have one question about how you're going to make it when you get home. Let me tell you, the answer is God's word. Young men, how are you going to live a holy life? Well, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. How are you going to make it? You got to have God's word. Praise the Lord. Jesus was led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the enemy. He had fasted 40 days and 4 nights, and then the tempter came, and he began to tempt him, and he began to discourage him. But every time, what did Jesus do? He took him straight to the word of God. That, you know, that's a good comparison we can make as young people. You know, camp's going to be over before you know it, and you're going to go home to a wilderness right after a high time, right after Jesus had been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. He heads out to the wilderness. He heads out to a dry place, and some of you are going back to dry places, dry families, hard places to live. But I'm telling you what, if you'll be like Jesus, if you'll follow his example, and if you'll hide God's word in your heart, you won't sin against God. You can make it. If you don't have anything in the wilderness but his word, you can make it, young people. I'm telling you what, like Josiah's generation, I want to be someone that'll stand up and begin to follow God when I'm young. I want to purge my life, and I want to get back to following God's word. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's all stand tonight. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the example of God's word. Praise the Lord. Josiah, he didn't have much hope when you look at his ancestors, but he was someone that stood up and said, I'm going to make the difference. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be the one that stands up and does what is right. When everyone else is serving idols, I'm going to stand up and make a difference. How about it, young people? Are you going to make a difference in your generation? When you look at this world, you don't really... The odds are stacked up against you, to be honest. But I don't believe God's through. He wouldn't allow you to come to Truth Camp and feel his presence. He wouldn't allow you to come and get filled with the Holy Ghost if he didn't have a plan for your life. He wants each and every one of you to stand up in the generation that you live in and make a difference. Praise the Lord, I really believe that. Praise the Lord, we have some time before the evening service. I want everyone that can, why don't we come and find a place to pray and begin to seek the Lord, ask him to move in this evening service and have him touch your lives tonight. Praise the Lord. Ask him. Pray tonight. Pray tonight that you could be a Josiah in this generation.